Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just gone 9 minutes past the hour of nine. Welcome to the social program on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning right up till 10 a.m. We do have Maulana Bam joining us telephonically on the program. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
How are you keeping, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Well, last week we broke off from our usual routine and we are doing the aged or the elderly people. Alhamdulillah, yesterday was the opening. I was also there. A very nice setup, MashaAllah. And perhaps your few remarks before we go into our program this morning.
Yes, I think there is no doubt I was gone outside. I was out of town, not out of country, but I could not be available, although it was my desire to be in the program. I only came out of town back to Johannesburg around about 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
so I was not in a position to go, but my sentiments and duas were with the opening. I just received many positive aspects with regard to it. Many people feeling that it is very timely. It is very something required, needed. And but of course we have to find the right balance in not taking away responsibility from families and children in particular to look after the aged parents, but also providing a facility and providing a service that for whatever reason we hope that sometimes it is not because of negligence but because of other factors. If the age, even if it is for the day, and I must say that particular aspect that, you know, sometimes you look after an aged person for the day. It could happen that there could be an emergency, people have to go somewhere and for 1 or 2 days to look after someone. So in that situation, many people found it to be extremely beneficial and hope that it will serve the community well. And inshallah, our duas are with the project and we hope inshallah it will serve a very useful purpose in the community. And maybe people from other places could also replicate the model that is started off by the Jamiatul Ulama.
Inshallah. Well, coming back to our program, a quick recap of the previous show, and then inshallah we can look at today's one.
Yes, Moana, we started about choosing the right topic. And we said when you do speak to people, you have to find the right topic to be able to speak to them. I gave two examples with regard to my own life, that when Qari Khalil al-Husri and Qari Abdul Basit came to Newtown Masjid and came to our madrasa in Binuri Town, they read passages of the Quran that was relevant and was very appropriate. You know, I said about Sheikh Khalil al-Husri, read ma kana Muhammadun aba ahadin min rijalikum walakin Rasulullah wa khataman nabiyyin, when he came to know that Mawlana Binuri rahmatullahi alayhi was taking a stance against those who deny the finality of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's prophethood. And when there was a guest, someone from a madrasa read, and Dr. Abdul Razak, our principal, remarked and said, couldn't you have chosen, every aspect of the Quran is important, but you know, to be able to choose the right passage of the Holy Quran for a relevant occasion, he said that is also something that is very important. From there we said and gave the example of how Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose the right topic. We gave two examples how Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to Jabir bin Abdullah, who was a young companion who had just got married, and his circumstances were such that he had spoken and he had just got married because his father had passed on. He had many sisters, so he got married to a woman who was slightly matured. So that how Nabi Karim Sassim chose the right topic with him, how he chose the right topic with Hazrat Julaybib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and inshallah we will go on to make mention of that. But I think maybe people, if anyone got, we would like to go to the next topic, which is topic number 19. But if anyone would like to recall any advice, any experience they had had in choosing the right topic that you had taken with someone or in a gathering and how it changed the situation for the better, or how, for example, someone didn't use the right topic and how it clouded the matter, And I can just give an example that Nabi Akram Sallam said, when you come and visit a sick person, always speak to him and be confident and give him glad tidings, make him feel positive. Now, when you come and see a sickly person, you always try and cheer him up. You always give him glad tidings. You always make him feel better. Unless, of course, you know, you go to the other extreme, which will be unfortunate, that you come to a sick person and he is feeling a little bit better and you said, you're looking so sick. You know, you were not like that yesterday. Which are, even if he was not feeling sick, you will feel sick. Now, that is a perfect example of how not to choose a topic in front of a person who is sickly.
Very, very interesting. The time is now 15 minutes past the hour of 9. The SMS number to the program, 48855. That's 48855. Alternatively, the WhatsApp studio number is 0727861548. Or alternatively, you can SMS Mulana Bam on his side, 0837862859.
This is a social program with Mulana Ibrahim Bam. Call 011-854-1548. Tweet at Ibrahim Bam.
Brother, I like today's topic. Be kind at the first meeting.
Yes, I think an important point, Moana. How do you get be kind at the first meeting? The author has given one or two examples with regard to his situation. But before we go into that, I would just like to say one remarkable, you know, incident that comes immediately to mind about Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to go and visit someone who had lost a near and dear one. Right? And at that time, the woman told Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam something to the effect that it might be easier for you to say you have not lost someone who is near and dear. Only I know the difficulty I'm going. And Nabi Karim Sallam still spoke to her, gave her sabr, sympathized with her, condoled, you know, gave condolence. And thereafter, when she went away, people told her that, do you realize who you are speaking to? I mean, you complained and said to Nabi Sallam, you don't know what I'm going through. You have not been the one who is going through this. And you have done something that is not respectful to Nabi Karim Sallam. And she came back to Nabi Karim Sallam, and she thereafter apologized for what she had told Nabi Karim Sallam. And then Nabi Karim Sallam said an amazing thing. He said, "As-sabru inda sadmatil ula." Sabr is at the first occasion when the news breaks. So if something happens which is untoward, then you have to make sabr at that occasion. After 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, the way they said, majburi kanam shukriya, you know, by and large, you have to come to terms with what has happened. So the test of patience is on the first instance. And from there, let us look at it from the other perspective. This is now from a perspective of sadness. Let us look at it from another perspective, from an interpersonal relations perspective. And towards the end, the author has just put a suggestion. And I think that would be the basis of the program today. The first meeting imprints 70% of the impression that one has of a person on his mind. Thus, one should treat a person as if it is the first and last time you will ever meet him. Very important. That the person will form an impression about you. 70% of that impression about you would be in the first meeting. So when the first time you meet someone, see to it that it is a meeting, you make him feel important, you give the particular type of reverence that is needed, so that that man will form that type of impression for the rest of his life. I think it's a very, very important type of interpersonal skill that is required and needed. And then the author goes on to give certain examples in his own life, and of course in the life of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Yes, first impression is the last impression, and it's important that you make a good one. In that regard, they say, Marana, when you're going for interview, and you, if you're going and you're putting your resume, they say you must walk in confident and you must also act confident, because your first impression is the last impression. And also they say you must watch what you say and be careful. Don't talk too much, not too little. Be moderate and take things as you go. So they say the first impression could be your last impression. Right?
You're quite good in talking about interviews at the time of employment. Now, maybe why don't you tell one or two people who are going to see a girl for the first time or vice versa what they are supposed to do?
What a alag topic hai manana for marriage program.
So you become quite a fundi on that.
MashaAllah. Ji, so it's an important art to keep in mind. Your first impression is the last impression.
Yes, manana, the two things that he has made mention, and I think it's an important point. One is, it's a very old tale that is, you know, within our Gujarati culture also, or within the Indian culture, or maybe even more widespread than that, is that, and I see it is widespread because the author spoke about it as the rural areas of old Egypt. Now, our people in the past used to make mention of this. Nowadays, I think the new girls hear this, they will laugh, it won't make much of an impression. But of course, it's a very, very famous type of situation. They said if you want to put your awe in front of the woman that you have got married to, on the first night, you put a small kitten in the room, and then afterwards the kitten is in one place, and it makes a noise, makes meow, and then you go and take it out from its place, and you strangle it, or you take a sword, or you take a knife, and you slit it, and you kill it, and, you know, when the wife objects, how can you do something like this? And he said, that's what I do with people who don't listen to me. You know? So you have made an impression upon them to show that they are supposed to be obedient towards you. Nowadays, I don't know if that will actually work or not. Maybe some of our listeners will be able to tell us if it works or not.
Mullah, they say nowadays you must show them who wears the pants on the first night. So they say, yeah, but who tightens the belt?
Well, the only problem is nowadays everyone wears pants. Anyway, oh.
Ji, going on to the next example that he has given.
Now, the other example he has given is about an instructor at a college. And he said, a senior instructor advised me, saying, be stern with the students in your first lesson and stare at them with furious eyes so that they will be in awe of you from the very beginning. And I remember this as I was writing on this chapter and realized that one thing everyone would agree upon is that the first meeting imprints 70% of an impression on one's mind. Now, the author has given one incident which will take some time, but just asking the listeners, please just bear this in mind and how beautifully it explains this point. And I think more important than that would be the example of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereafter, but just understand this point. So a group of officers once traveled to the USA to attend a training program on interpersonal skills in the work environment. On the first day, they arrived early on the classrooms and began chatting in order to get to know one another. Suddenly, the instructor walked in and they all fell silent because the professor, or the professor had come in. And the instructor's eyes fell upon a student who was still smiling. And why are you laughing? Said the professor. And said the instructor. The student replied, I'm sorry, I wasn't laughing. And the instructor screamed, yes, you were. And chastise him further. You are not a serious student. You have come from abroad. And you have come here to learn interpersonal skills in a working environment. And instead of learning, you are laughing. You should rather take a next flight home. I cannot teach you. You know, I cannot teach a student who is not serious. And the poor student was feeling embarrassed and gazed at the instructor, who even became more angry and said, just get out of the classroom. And he chased the student out of the classroom and told him, just get out of the classroom and go and stand outside. You know, sometimes maybe it happened, maybe in half his class people used to go and say, stand outside. So, you know, for a long period, the student got up frightened and left the room. The instructor looked at the rest of the student and said, I am so and so. I'm going to teach you with a subject. But before, I would like you to fill in a questionnaire without writing your names on it. So it will be completely confidential, what you say with regard to me. And then he distributed the questionnaire to the students. The questionnaire was about the instructor's performance and had five questions. How do you find your teacher? How do you find his teaching? Does your teacher allow opposing views to be aired? Would you like to be taught by him again? Would you like to meet him outside the classroom and outside the institution? And every question had must have multiple choices, excellent, good, fair, and poor. Right, then he told them and he gave them chance to fill in that form. Thereafter a while he said, why should we deprive your colleague of this lesson? He went out of the classroom, shook the hand of the student whom he had expelled and brought him back, and he said, I think I lashed out at you a little while ago without any good reason. I was having some personal problems. I was angry because of it, which I behaved quite erratically at times. So I beg your pardon. Please forgive me. You are, after all, a committed student. Therefore, you have left your home country to come and study this in a foreign country. And you have left your home environment. And I would like to thank you for that sacrifice. In fact, due to your sacrifice, I assure you that I will give extra to be able to teach you better. And thereafter, he was very lighthearted with his students, and he introduced himself differently. He then picked up more copies of the question and said, since your colleague didn't get the chance to fill in the questionnaire, the one who I rejected, let us do it all over again. And then he gave another batch of the questionnaire. And thereafterwards, he took the two questionnaires and the answer to these two questionnaires and again to compare between the two. And he discovered in the first one, everything that the teacher had asked, how do you find your teacher? How do you find his teaching? Does your teacher allow you to view your views and your opinions? Would you like to be taught by him again? Would you like to meet him outside the institution? All of them were poor.
Mm.
And in the second round, after he had changed his attitude, and this time the questionnaire that was passed on, this time all the reviews and the opinions were in a positive way. And then the instructor said, what you had just witnessed was a demonstration of the ill effects of the lack of interpersonal skills in the work environment. What I did to your colleague was an example of this, which I wish to demonstrate to you at all. Note how your views of me changed as I changed the way I dealt with you.
Subhanallah.
This is all part of human nature, and hence one must take this into consideration, especially with those he meet for the first time. Subhanallah.
Mala, he left a lasting impression on the students. Even if they don't walk out with all the material he gives them, but that example will remain for them for the rest of their life.
Very, very true. And I would like to ask people, I mean, what was your impressions or first impression of someone which sticked with you? Or, for example, the other way around, an example of a bad experience and a bad first impression which you never got over. And yes, it happens sometimes. And maybe it's also sometimes we have to be careful. Sometimes you're so busy in your own things, someone comes and you've not been able to give him the best of your attention. He might have come the first time. Remember, that particular type of impression lasts for the rest of the life.
Exactly. 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548. The SMS line is 48855 or the WhatsApp studio number 0727861548. We're going to go for a quick commercial break. When we return, inshallah, we'll continue. It is a social program of Maulana Ibrahim Bam, and we are discussing chapter number 19 of the book, Enjoy Your Life. The chapter is with regards to be kind at the first meeting. Your first impression is the lasting impression that we are talking about. And Morala just gave the example of the person who went to abroad to learn interpersonal skills and how the instructor, the tutor, dealt with that person on the first day. Morala, we can continue, inshallah.
And maybe if anyone has got any experience with regard to a first meeting with someone, how it had impressed you, maybe even with regard to how you might have chose your spouse on the basis of the first impression. I don't know if there anyone who would like to share their views or would like to WhatsApp or would like to send a message. When we had left from here, I was a very young person, and we had heard a lot of Maulana Yusuf bin Nur Rahmatullah Ali. And because I had gone with my uncle, who was very close to Maulana bin Nur Rahmatullah Ali, when I landed at Karachi Airport, Maulana was given permission by the airport authorities to come right up to the, you know, when you get off the plane at the airport terminal building, not after the immigration, before the immigration. And I can still just remember the glow in the face of Maulana Bin Noor Rahmatul Ali, which just had a lasting impression because that was the first time that you had seen him. So many a times when you see a person for the first time, it has a very great lasting impression, either because of his awe-inspiring personality or perhaps because of his smile, his laughter, his kindness. And such it must have been with the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Anhum Majma'in. As many people, there was this famous, I don't know which Sahabi it was, I think it was perhaps Abu Zar Ghaffari, maybe subject to correction, or one of them, or was it Tufail bin Amr ad-Dawsi, one of them, who came to Makkah Mukarramah, and the people of Makkah said, you know, please see to it that you don't listen to Muhammad.
Tufail bin Amr ad-Dawsi.
Huh?
It was Tufail ibn Amr
ad-Dawsi, yes, from the Dawsi tribe. And he said, don't listen to him. And he stuffed his ears with wool. And he said, I'm not going to listen to him. And after a while, he said, I'm an intelligent person. I'm the head of my tribe.
Hmm.
Surely I can make up my own mind. Let me go and see and go and listen to what Nabi Karim Sallallahu has got to say. Why should I listen to the people of Makkah? And never form an opinion and judgment about other people based on what another person tells you. It always, you must always bear this in mind. Someone sent me that beautiful message, and I think it is something that really is worthwhile. Don't base your opinion about someone based on what another person, he might have had an ugly experience, doesn't mean you have got an ugly experience. And my enemy is not my, friend. You know, we have to keep that in mind, whatever it is. So, Tufail ibn Amr ad-Dawsi went to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and when he said, his sight of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, Wallahi, laysa hadha wajhu kazzab. This can never be the face of a liar.
Allah.
And afterwards, when he went to hear Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he became a Muslim. And so it was with other examples in our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would capture people's heart in the first time he met them. After the conquest of Makkah and when Islam had become dominant, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started to receive envoys from various tribes. A fascinating, you know, time in Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life and how the different tribes came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with them. Amazing. The Najran tribe, the Christian tribe came, and how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put up a tent for them, and how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accommodated them. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed them to pray according to their own rites, according to their own religion. How different tribes came, the Bani Bakr and different, and one of them was the tribe from Abd al-Qais. When they arrived, before they could even dismount from their rides, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to them, welcome, O people. May you never face disgrace or sorrow, so have glad tidings. As they dismounted from their camels, they raced to the Prophet to greet him. They said, O Messenger of Allah, between our cities, there lies the dwelling of a group of pagans from Mudhar, due to which we cannot come to you except in the sacred months, since this is when Arabs do not fight. So guide us to the best things we can do, which if we were to do, would cause us to enter paradise, and which would instruct others also to do the same. It means we would have come more earlier, and we would have come more quicker. But between the road, between us and coming to you, there is a tribe with whom we have hostility. And if we had to come, they would have attacked us. Therefore, we waited for the sacred months, where even people who did not believe in Islam had a degree of reverence for the sanctity of those months, and they did not attack anyone. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then told them, I shall order you to do four things and forbid you from four. I order you to have faith in Allah. Do you know what it means to have faith in Allah? They replied, Allah and His Messenger knows best. It means to testify there is no one worthy of worship besides Allah, to establish the prayers, to give in charity, and to give a fifth of the war booty in charity. I also forbid you from four things, from drinking from Ad-Dubbah, Al-Naqir, Al-Zuruf, Al-Muzaffat, and Al-Hantam, names of utensils which were used by certain Arabian tribes, especially from the region where Abd al-Qais came from. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I forbid you from using these type of utensils which are normally used to make alcohol. And they were taken aback by the love and kindness of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
MashaAllah. The lines are open, 0118541548, 0118541548, alternatively 48855. Manola, one of our colleagues here at the radio station, when he went to see his wife to get married, he went to the wrong room, and he met the wrong person. So they told him, not this room, the other room. He said he was so embarrassed that till today he remembers, and they tease him about it.
SubhanAllah.
So, yeah, first impressions are sometimes the embarrassing ones. I walked into a glass door because I never see the glass door there.
I'm sure you're not going to see your family that time. You got so excited.
The lights are open. 0118541548. Malawi, can continue.
All right, brother, can I ask you, did you see someone who just made a lasting impression upon you by meeting him for the first time?
There were many, Malala, but hard to pinpoint one, Malala.
Okay, mashallah.
Mashallah.
Mashallah, okay. On another occasion, Nabi Karim S.A.W. was traveling with a group of his companions at night. They traveled for a long time until the last part of the night fell upon them and decided to stop over and sleep. They were overcome by deep sleep until sunrise. Now, this is it's a long, longish incident, but let me just continue. And Mohammed, if you do need to stop me, if you want to maybe anyone has sent any messages or anything that we have to respond to, just let me know with regard to it.
Unfortunately, our SMS server is down this morning, Mohammed.
All right.
So we'll just use the personal numbers, the 07-222-18384 number, inshallah.
Okay, and maybe anyone can just make mention of my number also.
Malawi, just before you start, many times the first impression wasn't a good one. But then you become colleagues, and after a few months you say, when I first met you, I thought you were a very sulky person. But as I got to know you, you are a different person, eh?
sometimes it can turn around, and sometimes it remains. I mean, I have met people, and really this is a fact, that they came into meeting me when I was busy with something, and perhaps due to my weakness, I was not able to pay sufficient attention to them and give them the time that they had come under the expectation that they had. And people always held it, and they told me that, Moana, we came that time for the first time to meet with you, and we had work, and then you were busy, and they just felt that, but I told them that maybe I was busy with something, I understand, but you should have still given us a good face, and you should have taken away from what you were busy with to at least meet with us for a little while. And sometimes it happens. You get so caught up in your own things that you forget to pay attention to someone who has come to meet with you.
Hmm.
And it's a reality of life. Let's face it, it happens to many people. It has happened many a times to me. And I mean, a person came to meet me unexpectedly sometime, and I was busy with an urgent email which I had to send out at that time. So I told him, brother, listen, I have to send this email out at the moment because I'm going out. I'm going to type out whatever you need to tell me. Please tell me. But I have to send this out. It's not as if I've given you time to come. You have come, and I'm going to listen to you. But there's two, three things I just have to do right away because I'm going somewhere. And he was speaking, and I was listening. But he just felt that I shouldn't have done so. But I told him, that was my circumstances. But that is how it happens in life. We have different type of situations that arise.
Hmm. Interesting indeed. We can go into the second incident, Mona.
Yeah, the second incident was Nabi Karim S.A.W. Overslept. And then, of course, not overslept, they were in a deep sleep. And they were overcome until sunrise. The first one to awaken was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, then got up. They woke Nabi Karim S.A.W. They realized that this has happened, that they'd overslept. It happened once in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam overslept. And then what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did was that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam moved them to another valley, saying the place where we had missed Fajr Salat is not a very mubarak and auspicious place. Let us go to another place and then we will read our Fajr. He tells you firstly that when you do miss any Salat because of sometimes situations that are beyond your control, try to read it immediately. Don't waste time with regard to if after it had missed. And yes, it did happen once to Nabi Karim Sawsam and the entire Muslim army. The person whom Nabi Karim Sawsam had appointed to wake them up for Fajr, he also slept away. So when the Nabi Karim Sawsam and Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar got up, the sun was already up. So then when they had finished the prayer, one of the companions had not joined them. And he replied that I was in need of a ghusl and didn't find water to bath with. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered him to perform tayammum. Then the companion then prayed, and thereafter they continued on their journey, and none of them had any water. On the way, they became extremely thirsty and unable to find any well or any water. Imran bin Hussein radiallahu anhu said, as we were traveling, we found a woman on a camel with two leather sacks filled with water. We said, where can we find water? She said, there is no water here. How far is the water from your house? And she said, a whole day. I have traveled a whole day to get this water. So I'm not going to give it to you very easily. So we said, let us go to the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she said, what is the messenger of Allah? I don't know. I'm not in your same faith group. We took her with us to Allah's messenger in the hope that she should tell us the location of the water. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her about the water, and she responded with what she had responded to us earlier, and further complained that she had orphans to look after, therefore she doesn't have time, she has to go back to her place. And also indicating that she was in need of any assistance that could be rendered to her. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took hold of a water container, mentioned Allah's name on it, wiped over it, and began to pour the water from her container into our utensils. Now there were 40 people in the Jamaat, and all of them drank until our thirst was quenched. We filled our utensils with even more water and left hers, which now carried even more water than it was before. This was a miracle of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that from that particular water that she had, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave 40 people, 40 people quenched their thirst, and 40 people filled their utensils, and that particular water bag of hers was not in the least dented. It was not in the least diminished, and it was as it was. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh my Sahaba, bring whatever food you have. We will give this lady, because she had made mention, she has orphans to look after. We collected pieces of bread and dates for her. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, take this to your family, and also know we have used your water, but we have not decreased your water at all. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has quenched our thirst. You have become the means, but it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has granted us water, and we have taken from you. There's a miracle, this has happened, but it has not in any way diminished your water. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us water to drink. The woman then mounted her camel happily after receiving food and went home. When she returned, so she said, I met a person who says is a prophet. The people of Arabia call him a magician. But I'm just taken aback by the way he dealt with me. Now look at the difference between how the Sahaba dealt with her, where she was not willing to give anything, and how when she came in the presence of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by his way of dealing with him, or with her, how he changed her, and her family were amazed at the story with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it wasn't long before they all accepted Islam. Subhanallah. This is quite a remarkable incident of showing how the first impression has a lasting impression. And we can imagine there hasn't been one instance like that in the life of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Many of the people who came into contact with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the first time, they were just taken aback by the kindness of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A Baddu one came in the presence of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a villager, and he pulled Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's shawl so hard that it left an imprint on the Mubarak body of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was so uncouth, and he was so harsh, and he was so tough upon Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled and said, what is your situation? Why are you doing such a thing? He said, give me from the wealth that you have, and do not be miserly with regard to it. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you could have asked the very same thing in a more gracious way, and I wouldn't hesitate to have given you. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu to give him, and he gave him more than what he expected. And this is how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with people who were uncouth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made mention with regard to it to such an extent that Allah ta'ala had to reveal an ayat, لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. Do not call upon the Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way you call upon one another, the way you call upon your friends. When you address Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, address him with a due reverence, because he's the Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, if for example, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. Remember, if you address Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you raise your voice above Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you disrespect Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it could be that your entire good deeds could be nullified. Subhanallah. And this was Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's rank, but yet Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever took offense by the way Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dealt with. Always kind, always compassionate, even with people who are uncouth.
Interesting indeed. Imran, sometimes people only meet you once in their lifetime. For example, a celebrity, like, or somebody who is very popular in the community and they are coming from abroad, like say for example Mullah Tariq Jamil would come from Pakistan to South Africa, I'm just saying. It could happen, but people are not... Let's leave that out. Anyways, so you go...
Why left out?
There were some talks of him coming, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyways, so I'm just saying, if somebody like that, you meet him only once. You're only going to meet him once. You're not going to meet him again. So you're going to walk away with the impression, and when you are going to tell your children, when they grow up or whenever, this person, I met him, and what kind of person he was, mashallah. I sat with him, he offered me some water, he offered me whatever. So I'm just saying, that impression will be there even when you're speaking after many years, Mara.
Definitely, 100%. It can. And again, it's so important, because someone could come and see you from abroad, you might not see him again, and you might not have given him the right type of face. I was in one of the chat groups, and one person was saying about an incident that they went to go and visit a relative, and the relative was not very pleased to see them. So they noticed a very amazing thing. They saw that the relative was going into the room, the kitchen or the pantry, putting the light on and putting it off, and did it one or two times until at that time a phone call came and said, "We are waiting for you, please make quick." So I don't know whether this is true or not, but this person put in one of the groups and said, it seemed very apparent to me that the person didn't want to meet with the relatives who had come, and asked one of the neighbors through the means of a signal that just phone at this time and say that we have to go. And they conveniently then made their way out, and then leaving the visitors, and so I don't know if these things, if these things happen or how it is in today's time. We know that people are not as hospitable, and nowadays if you just come all of a sudden at someone's place, comparatively to maybe 10, 20 years back, where people used to still welcome you, still prepare a meal, now if you come unexpectedly, people find it difficult.
Interesting indeed. 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548, or 0727-86-1548. Mullah, here's a message coming through from one of the listeners. It says, "Assalamu alaikum. When I was ill recently, our neighbor came to visit. He said, I came quickly as my uncle had a similar ailment and he died, and this ailment was very shortly. This was very upsetting to me."
You see, again, the thing that I made mention of in the beginning, that when you see a person who is sick, always give him glad tidings. Use the right word, use the right things, and don't, come to see a person who is sickly, whatever his diagnosis might be. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you see a sick person, always tell him good things. You can't change takdir, but you will bring a smile on someone's face. Now to tell someone that, my uncle also had a similar type of sickness and he kicked the bucket in so many days, that poor chap will really feel not well. I think it's not the right approach, not the right way. Even if it happened, rather use this approach. Just look at this. I would look at it this way, that My uncle also had a similar sickness, and I didn't identify with you because he had a similar sickness, and I just wanted to come and meet you because my uncle had a similar type of... Now, a person thinks that, listen, this man has given me importance because someone close in his family also had a similar type of sickness, rather than saying that he passed away after so few many days because of the same sickness that you had.
Yes, that is really sad. So we must keep that in mind. Mullah, we can continue. We can, inshallah, conclude our chapter today, inshallah.
Yes, Mullah, we will. We are doing the first meeting. Alhamdulillah, we almost completed.
Can we take a caller quickly, Mullah?
Yes.
Okay, let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Ji, Appa.
You were talking about hospitality. I just want to mention an incident. There was a sheikh who visited his murid. And the murid was very excited that, you know, my sheikh is coming to visit me, and I prepared a lot of things and he made sure that all his work was in order. And eventually the sheikh came and stayed with him, and he was extremely happy, extremely kind and hospitable, and, you know. But now the sheikh stayed on and on and on. And now the poor murid, the food was diminishing, and he had to go and buy and lend and try and, you know, be serviceable, hospitable to the sheikh. And he was in a dilemma, and he didn't know what to do, and he didn't know how to speak to the sheikh and how to tell him. So one day he came in the sheikh's presence, and he sat down and he started crying. And he's crying and he's crying, and the sheikh asked him, but why are you crying? He said, I know you won't come again. So sheikh said, no, I'll come again, I'll come visit you again, you give me something to understand. He said, no, but only if you go, you can come again. If you don't go from here, how will you come again?
Yeah, very, very true. Also reminds me of that. Someone had said this remarkable. I remember Maulana Abbas Ali, when he came to our town, how he treated us with such kindness and with such love. Although we were not involved in Jamaat work, I will never forget that. We still talk about it. Jazakallah for that. The person hasn't made mention from where and which Jamaat in which town, but Jazakallah, it is quite a good thing to see that how someone can come into a town and make such a big impression.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it reminds me of another person who went to see a sick person and who was extremely, disturbed by him sitting for so long. And then he tried to give him one or two references, but he wasn't picking up the reference. So he eventually he said, you know, the people coming and going has caused me great amount of taklif, has given me great amount of inconvenience. And when he said that, the person said, well, can I close the door, you know, for people not to come? And he said, well, if you want to close the door, close it, but close it, close it from the outside instead of from inside. So if you're going to close it from outside, obviously you have to get out of the room.
Yeah, but it's an important point, Mona. If you don't go take somebody's whole afternoon, mm-hmm. Entire afternoon, yes. We know you travel from very far to come visit, but at the same time, you keep people's things in mind also.
Unless a person asks for you to sit a little while more longer, generally, as a rule, visits to people who are sick should be brief and comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know their situation. They might be in pain. They might be wanting to do things. They might be wanting to do certain types of treatment. They need rest. Unless they ask you to sit, you know, I'm a little bit tired. I'm in this company. Sit down for me for a little while. Unless they do so, as a general rule, a visit to people who are sick should be brief and comprehensive. And it shouldn't be made into a picnic sometimes the way it is done.
Let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah.
Well, there's something I want to ask you. I'm speaking anonymously from an anonymous town.
Okay.
Last year in Ramadan, I finished my tilawat of the Quran to you.
Right.
And at that time, there was a Jamaat people in the masjid. So I felt like somebody said, Maulana said that if you have make a Quran Sharif, you go to the alim, he makes dua for you. It's a good thing, like, you know. So I went humbly to him. I'm 17 years old. He rebuffed me, he rebuked me. He was so rude to me, like, he told me, what is haram? Attend to him, like, and he went away, like, you know. I stood there for a while and I went away, like, you know. But the point is, a person that you maybe like, you listen to his tapes, you listen to his bayans, and sometimes a thing like this happens. How do you reconcile it? How do you come to terms with yourself. I'm happy. I don't. I'm not worried about him now. But it's just that thought lingers in your mind. How could this happen to
perhaps,
me? Like,
perhaps
how could
a person what I would say is,
do such a thing?
There are two things. One is obviously a person must always try and be kind and considerate. But on the other hand, you should also, instead of keeping the grudge, just try and give a good interpretation. Nabi Akram Sawasam always gives good interpretations for people's actions. Right? So perhaps maybe you could just think that maybe he was not in the right frame of mind, maybe he was busy, maybe he needed to go somewhere, maybe something was on his mind and maybe he didn't treat you. So two things. One is from that person what he should have done, and from your side. From your side, my suggestion would be that just give a good interpretation with regard to his actions.
We've got about a minute left.
Yes, one day a person also came to Nabi Karim Sawasam asking for material aid. Nabi Karim Sawasam had some cattle and Nabi Sawasam gave him. And the man returned to his people and said, "O people, accept Islam, for Muhammad gives like a man who doesn't fear poverty." And Anas said the man would come to the Prophet Sawasam solely for worldly reason, but afterwards his religion became more precious to him than the whole world and all that exists thereafter. A great lesson for ulama also, that sometimes we try to judge people. So sometimes they might come with the wrong impressions or with the wrong intentions. So many people came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam solely for worldly reasons initially. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with them and gave them their worldly needs. But thereafter their religion became so strong that their religion was more important than the whole world or whatever it contains. Although their first meeting was for worldly reasons. I mean, and look at how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam treated them. So I think an important point, the first meeting, 70% of a person's impression is formed about you on the first time he meets with you. Therefore, treat every person who comes into contact with, especially if he's meeting you for the first time, that it is the first and last time you will ever meet with him.
Allahu Akbar. Jazakumullah for your time, much appreciated. We hope to speak to you next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.